Father God, we thank you for this day that we can come here and just freely worship you and gather together, fellowshipping with one another and then expressing our heart of thankfulness and joy through song as you command us to sing in the Bible. And Father, we thank you that you allow us to do this now, for me to proclaim your word. And I'm not worthy, Father, but I thank you for your spirit in this time and in this place to share your word and what you've been teaching me. Father, I'm trusting that you've already been moving your spirit in this place and in these hearts to hear your truth, to know your love. And Father, I ask that we have clear minds, clear ears to receive your word and to worship you through this time as well. Father, we love you and thank you. It's through your beautiful name and the love of your son, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. So last week, I had mentioned talking about the names of God. And kind of what that was is God would, through situations, through circumstances, he would reveal himself to his people and to others. And so that people would have a better idea of his character and who he was and what he was trying to accomplish. And we saw that, of course, in Exodus 3 with Moses in the burning bush. And he says that his name is Yahweh or Jehovah. I am who I am, or the better translation is I be who I be. That he's always been and he always will be. And so I preached out of Genesis in Abraham taking his son Isaac, who they waited years and years and years, and then were promised at the age of 75 that they would be blessed with a son, and then at the age of 100 it finally happened. And after several years, called Abraham to take Isaac up onto Mount Moriah and sacrifice him there. And God, of course, provided a ram, and he says, I am Jehovah Jireh, or Yahweh Jireh. I am the one that provides, will provide. And I tried to explain that not only did he provide then, but he provided in the New Testament through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection on the cross. And that he continues to provide today. He provides many of our needs. Sometimes not the way we think they'll be provided or when we want them to be provided, but yet he does continue to provide. And he will continue to provide long into Revelation 21, when there is a new heaven and a new earth. And that is the great provision he gives us. So for today, I'm already at the end. Oh, there we go. Now we're at the beginning. So today, I want to introduce us to another one of God's names. And that is Jehovah Rapha. And Jehovah meaning the Lord, and Rapha meaning heals. The Lord that heals. And I want to kind of take us through the same format that we did last week. I want to take us to the text that showed this, where God revealed himself to his people, and that's found in Exodus 15, 22 through 27, on page 103 in the Pew Bibles. And so I want to do that, but then I want to show how that didn't just happen in the Old Testament, a one-time event, that we see God continuing to heal going into the New Testament. And then, finally, how he is still healing today. I would think that each week when we pray for our church family and those that are struggling with the loss of a loved one or the sickness of a loved one or you being sick yourself, that we pray for healing. In fact, Pastor Bill and I were praying before the service started, and he knows that he talked to me earlier this week, and he heard how I sounded, and he kind of laughed. He says, "Are you going to be ready to go?" And I said, "Well, I was like this last week, and when Sunday came, I felt a lot better, felt a lot clearer." And so I said, "I'm trusting that he will do the same." And so Bill prayed for that. He prayed that my throat would be better, that my nasal passages and everything else that's attached and goes with it would be better as well. And Praise the Lord, he's doing that so far. So, but we want to be healed, don't we? I mean, when we have a sickness, when we have a heartache, when we have something that is weighing on us and plaguing us, and as I scan the crowd and look at your faces, I know some of the journeys you have been through. I know some of the hurts you've gone through, physically or a loved one, emotionally. And I understand that. And I'm hoping today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can get a better idea of our great God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And so let's jump into Exodus 15, verses 22 through 27. Moses has come back. He's freed his people. They cross the Red Sea. And Miriam, Aaron's sister, she just gets done singing this song, praising God for God's goodness of getting them out of Egypt through the Red Sea on dry ground and safe. And then 3 days later, they've run out of water. Now God knows we need water to survive. He gets that. He made us. And so he knows the requirement of water. However, this is a time of testing. And 3 days into it, roughly conservative numbers say 2.5 million people wandering through the desert. Could be upwards of 4 million people. And cattle, and sheep, and so on and so forth, they're getting thirsty. And so they begin to grumble, they begin to complain. And so I'm going to pick up in verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. They just want us to know Marah means bitter. That's why they called it that. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. So it's there in verse 26 that he announces to them that he says, "I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Yahweh Rapha, the Lord that heals." So they can take great encouragement in that. Now, when preparing for this, I had read some commentaries, and I get what they're doing, and I think overall I agree with it, is that they were saying that through this test, God was saying, you know, you're bitter just like this water. Your hearts are bitter just like this water. And I'm going to be the one that heals the water. I'm going to be the one that fixes this problem. I'm going to turn it from bitterness to sweet. And same thing with your hearts, that when you obey me, when you follow me, and I get all that, and I'm going to build off from a similar idea, but put yourself in their shoes. You've seen God work. You've seen his mighty power. You've seen the 10 plagues happen, and then you have the army, the mighty army of the Egyptians following you, and you're trapped by the Red Sea, and you're concerned, and the waters part, and you get across. And you celebrate, and you worship God, and you give thanks to him as they should have. But then you're in the desert, and like the desert does, it wears you out, it dehydrates you very quickly, and after 3 days, you're desperate. And they begin to grumble. And God brings them to some water. And that's exciting, right? To all of a sudden, Jehovah Jireh, he provided. He is the provider. He provided for us with some water, only to find out that it's not drinkable. And that's great. That really stinks. And so now they're frustrated, and they begin to grumble to Moses. And they go to a man to fix the problem. But Moses, he turns from their grumbling and he cries out to God. And that's a great illustration for us that when we're grumbling, when we're going through some struggles, when we have things that need to be healed, to turn to God. Now, yes, he created doctors with knowledge, and we should use our physicians. We should go to the doctor. But we can also ask God to heal through that. And so we get a great illustration of God saying, I'm the healer. And he tells them that, you know, follow my decrees, submit to me, listen to me carefully, follow me and nothing else. And I will keep the devastation of the plagues that came upon the Egyptians. The 10 plagues that happened in Egypt, I think it was number 6, was there was great boils and sores and issues with the skin that I got all these rashes, all these boils, and it's bothering me. I think that was plague number 6. And so there he's saying, I won't let those diseases fall on you. And so he's making them a promise, but he's telling them they need to stay in step with him. They need to submit to who he is, that he is Lord. And so there's other stories throughout the Old Testament that talk about God being Jehovah Rapha, Yahweh Rapha. Isaiah 53, I'll just touch on. In one part it says, and I think there's been some doctrine, some theologians maybe that have taken that a different direction. It says that by the stripes of Christ you have been healed. And so they say, well, because of Jesus, I'm just going to pray the flu away. I'm just going to pray this away, and I'll never get sick because I'm a follower of Jesus. And I don't believe that's what Isaiah 53 is saying. It's talking about our soul. And that's what I want to build into with the rest of our time. If you would turn with me into the New Testament, and I had lots of options in the New Testament to choose from that talk about healing. If you would turn to Luke 17, starting in verse 11. You know, as you're turning there, page 1595 in the Pew Bibles, again, that's Luke 17. I really like the Gospel of John. And so there's a whole bunch of stories in the Gospel of John. John 5 talks about this man who was an invalid, had been a cripple, been lain by this pool that they felt that if you went into the pool when it was stirred up, that would provide healing. He laid there for, I think, 38 years, and Jesus comes along on the Sabbath and says, do you want to be healed? Well, Jesus, we all know the answer, but Jesus knew the answer, of course, as well. Like, yeah, he's been laying here for 38 years. Of course he wants to be healed. And he says, well, I can't be healed because I'm not quick enough. I can't get to the pool in time. Someone else gets in there before me, and someone else gets healed, and I just have to sit here. And so then he finally gets to a point where Jesus says, well, get up and walk. Pick up your mat. And it stirs up the Pharisees and everyone gets upset. And I thought about preaching out of that. And I there's so many other texts that I could go to about God healing and Jesus performing miracles. And in the book of Acts, where a guy is at the gate and he's looking for alms, he's looking for gifts of money. And Peter and John look at him and say, get up. And immediately through the Holy Spirit, he was made strong. And he jumped around. And they preached a sermon and many came to Christ that day. But I want to talk about the 10 lepers. In Luke 17. I'll read it and then break it down here. In verse 11 of Luke 17 it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." You see, what would happen in this day and time is that leprosy would get spread. And leprosy could be any form of skin issue. If you have psoriasis, you would be considered a leper. And you'd be kicked out of the community. You were not allowed to live in the city. And so the only friends you had were other people with skin issues. And so just think about this for a second. This thought came over me last night as I was rereading through the scripture. These group of 10 men traveled together. When's the last time they embraced someone? When was the last time they shook someone's hand? When was the last time they felt a physical touch from someone? Because I like Larry and I like Bill, but if they both had some skin issues and I had some skin issues and I wanted to get better, hey, Larry, I'll walk with you, but I'm not touching you. Good to see you, Bill. Stay there. Because I want to have the hope of getting better so that I can be back in community with my family, with my friends. But these men traveled together and they probably didn't have much physical touch in their life. And they probably desired that. And from a ways off, they saw Jesus. And he had already healed people. There are stories of the 4 men that came crashing through the roof to help their friend and lower their friend down so he could be healed. And people touching the cloak and the power being drawn out from just touching a garment that Jesus was wearing and being healed. The stories went around like wildfire. Because you know what? In that day and time, they wanted to be healed as well. And so these 10 lepers, they saw Jesus and his disciples with him and said, "Hey, this could be our break. This could be our chance." And so they called out from a distance. Why? Because in that day, the law said that you couldn't go by the people who were clean. In fact, you had to walk at a distance from everyone and you had to say, "Unclean, unclean," so that no one would come near you. This was an honor-shame society, an honor-shame culture. And they had a shame because of the condition of their skin. And so Jesus says simply to them, "Go and see the priests." They had to go and see the priests to be made ceremonially clean, to be accepted back into the culture, back into the city, to be with everyone else. So they, with a little bit of faith, said, "Okay," and the 10 walked off. And at what point in time, it doesn't tell us that they looked and became clean, but I'd imagine at that point in time, they looked and they were made clean. And the excitement and the joy that probably rushed over them and they probably jumped and leapt up in the air and they were excited and they probably quickened their pace to get back to the priest to say, "I don't know how long this is going to last, but let's get there now so that we can go hug our family. So I can enjoy physical touch again." Except for one. One came back. And he fell at Jesus' feet and praised and worshiped God and gave thanks for being healed. Now, at the very bottom, it says that, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Well, the other ones had some form of faith, didn't they? Because they called out to Jesus. And so they had some form of faith saying, well, he's healed other people, so surely he could probably heal us. But that was as deep as their faith went. At least that's what it leads me to assume. Except for this other guy. He said, "Oh, he's not just someone that can heal someone because we call him the great physician. It's not just that. He's something more. He's the Son of God." And so he is a Samaritan who comes back and falls at the feet of a Jew. And I'll just say the tension was very high between the Jewish people and the Samaritans. Amen. And so he came back and he fell on his face and he worshiped. And he gave thanks to God because he knew who just healed him. And so then with that, Jesus says, your faith has made you well. That leads me to believe that this was not just an outward healing for this man, but it was an inward healing as well. Now, I pray with great expectation for healing and mending of broken bones. The healing of certain diseases and sicknesses that many of us have or have had or will eventually have. We give ourselves to praying for that. And I fully believe God can heal that. In fact, when in March of 95, I find out I'm a diabetic, type 1 diabetic. I have someone that will come in and pray with me on 2-3 times during the week and pray for my diabetes to be healed. And I believe God can. No doubt about it. They told me when I was 11 years old, they said, by the time you're 18, they'll have a cure for diabetes. Still waiting on that. Yeah. But you know what? I don't need the ADA or anyone else to come out with a cure for diabetes. I know God has the power to cure me right now. I would praise him and I'd probably go home and finish the key lime pie that's in the freezer, but that's another story. I can't do that right now. So I understand he has the power to do it, but I also understand that he may not do it. You see, when he says, I am Jehovah Rapha, Yahweh Rapha, he's not simply talking of our physical ailments. Yes, we want those healed. And yes, we will give glory to God through our healing. I would sure hope. But the great healing, being the great physician that he is, that's not based around our physical needs, as we see with the 9 that went back to the priest and the 1 that came back. He got it. The Samaritan guy that fell on his face, he got it. We're called to rejoice in the healing of our soul. Where we're called to rejoice that he gave us an opportunity to be healed from the sin in our life. Now that sin nature is still in us, but we are called to give thanks to him for his continual healing of our soul. Just as he continues to provide, he continues to heal. And so what does that look like? Well, it tells us that we are made more Christ-like day by day from one degree to the next. Until the day of glorification, till the day we are with Jesus. When all our pains, all of our tears are wiped away. When all sickness is obliterated in Revelation 21. We are called to be healed day by day. Calling out to Jehovah Rapha. Are we doing that? We pray for our physical healing. But what about our spiritual healing? Because he heals that as well. And friends, if any of you are out there that maybe you've been coming to church for a while, and you've heard the gospel, I want him to heal your physical needs, your emotional needs as well, but most of all, I pray for your spiritual healing. And maybe you're hearing the gospel for the first time that Father God sent his son Jesus to come to this earth, to be in heaven where it's perfect, to come to this earth, to feel the pains, to feel the rejection, to feel the hurt that we feel here on earth, to heal us all from that, to give us an opportunity to be reconciled back to God, because our sin has a cost. And we see that on the cross. The repercussion of our sin is so heavy That blood needed to be shed. But the cross is also a symbol of his love. That he gave himself to die on the cross. So that we can be healed. We can be made well. And then he died on that cross, gave his spirit up, and 3 days later was raised again. And yes, that's why we celebrate Easter, but the gospel is something we need every day, whether you're a believer or not. And so if you haven't been healed by the gospel, if you haven't been healed by Jesus, today is a great day for that. Please talk to me. Talk to Pastor Bill. We'd love to just really share with you all the more of Jehovah Rapha being the Lord who heals, not just physically, but spiritually, so that you can experience Revelation 21 in heaven. Because the Bible is very clear that if we are not healed from our sin, and I'm not saying we're done sinning, but when we are healed from our sin, then we go to heaven. If we're not healed from our sin, it's separation from God for eternity. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. You provided your son to die on the cross for our sins. You paid a price I can't pay. I thank you for the story in Exodus of the people turning to Moses and grumbling with bitterness. But Moses turning to you and crying out to you. I thank you for revealing yourself as Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals. And that it wasn't just a one-time thing in the wilderness where you made the water sweet. But that you continually heal. And I thank you that through my diabetes, even though you have not healed it, I know you have the power to do that. Yet I thank you that I can glorify you through it. That it makes me have to go to the doctors. And that I get to share with them your gospel. And that I get to praise you even with this disease. And I know it's temporary. And I know there will come a day where I will be healed from it. And so I thank you for that. And I pray that you can give us the confidence through your Holy Spirit that all of our diseases, all of our infirmities, all of our broken hearts, our broken bones, our broken spirits will be healed. And so, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit healing our soul. By confessing that you are Lord and believing in our hearts that you raised your Son from the dead. Father, we thank you for healing us continually, sanctifying us 1 degree closer to your Son day by day. We love you. Thank you. It's for your beautiful name, love of your Son Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. It is Communion Sunday, and it is also baseball season, so anytime I've been to a baseball game, no one complains about extra innings. So just think of it that way. Extra innings, all right? The Bible study this morning, not dogging them at all. Ted got them in here late, sort of. But they were having a fantastic conversation in there, so I want to hear a little bit about that sometime soon. They are going through a great study right now, and so that is super exciting. So they had some extra innings in there as well. So at this point in time, it is Communion Sunday. I'll quit blabbering, and I'll bring the deacons up. And as they make their way up, as we're talking about names of God, through the Gospel of John, Jesus gives 7 I Am statements. And so he's sharing not only with us, but also with his disciples and those he's interacting with, who he is and what he is there for. And in John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who trusts in me will never thirst. And so we will take the wine or the wine representation of the grape juice and the wafer, which is the bread. And we'll pray over it right now and send it out. Father God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus. We thank you for him being the bread of life. That this is a symbolic time where we can take this to reflect on everything Jesus accomplished on the cross. And that we will hunger no longer for things of this world. But I ask that you just continually stir the spirit inside of us to hunger for you and thirst for you. Father, we thank you and love you. It's for your beautiful name we pray these things. Amen.